Welcome back to Eye on Digital Marketing. This is episode number 37, and I am joined by my good friend Max Braglia, VP of Interactive Advertising. Max, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chuck. How are you?
I'm fantastic as well, and we brought you in today to touch on a recent iOS update, which is a little bit different than some of the normal topics we have, but in this digital world that we live in, everything is very connected, and this most recent Apple update certainly has effects on advertisers, certainly has effects on what you and your team does on a daily basis. So to first kind of break this down, this is iOS 14 we're talking about, and this was released at the end of April here in 2021, so it is fairly new. We're recording this just a week in to May. So it is fairly new. And I don't think necessarily a lot of people know when a new update comes out how many features actually change on an update. And this one has hundreds upon hundreds. And just to name a few, which I think users may recognize right off the bat if you update your iPhone. Max, you have an iPhone?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good, because if you had an Android, we'd have to stop the podcast here. So just to name a few things that have changed, you have new redesigned widgets, right? So your homepage is going to look different. You can pick which ones are larger, smaller. Basically, it's all customized, like a dashboard we would do for reporting. You now have that right on your iOS device. There's a new app library at the bottom of your screen. So if you have six apps that you use more than the other 50 that you downloaded and are just taking up space on your phone, you can put those six right there to access them easier. Face ID, now better recognition for people wearing masks. You have created pinned convos. This is something we see in social media a lot. So again, if you are in your text messages or your iMessages on your iPhone and you have a lot of different conversations but want to pin a few to the top, you can also do that as well. Some new features for start, lock, and unlock your car if you're into that type of thing. And then we get to the privacy updates, which, Max, the privacy updates is really where a lot of the new advertising, I will say features, right, that we'll talk about come into play. And before we talk about this, I just want to say that privacy related to advertising is kind of funny, right? Because it really does make our jobs easier the more that we know about a user. The more that we're able to quote-unquote creep on people, the easier our jobs are, right? And this is just a fact. An advertiser wants to know everything they can about you. In fact, if we had it our way, we would just put a body cam on people and follow them everywhere. And our life would be very easy, right?
Exactly.
Because advertising is based on targeting. But over, the last 5 years especially, privacy has become a very large issue in terms of securing privacy for the user. And even Apple, more than Android or any other device, has made it very, very clear, even with their encrypted iOS messages back and forth to each other, privacy is a very, very big thing for Apple. So in this iOS 14 update, there's some things I want to talk about here, Max, that are changing that I'll read through, and then we can kind of dive one by one and see how this affects the digital landscape. First is privacy information on the App Store. So you're going to have a new section when you go to download an app where you can see a summary of the privacy practices of the app before you download it. And this is developers telling you exactly what their privacy policies are, what they're going to use your data for, etc. Before, if you downloaded an app, you had to go into that app, find that area, and then read it. This is now going to prompt you prior to that. App tracking transparency. This is another big one here. Developers are required to get your permission before tracking you. In your settings, you can see which apps you have given permission to. So again, vice versa, kind of this opt-in, opt-out prompt that you'll now see. You're not just opted in as it was before, and then you had to find a way to get out. Approximate location used to give exact location from your iOS device on the map, right? Now it's going to give approximate location. That's interesting. I think we could talk about that as well. Limited access to your photo library. Again, I think these are things that became second nature to people when they start downloading apps. One of the very first questions an interactive or social app will ask you, can we access your photos? They're accessing every single photo in your phone up until this point. So even though you may use use it to upload one default profile photo. If you have 5,000 images, that app now has those 5,000 images to do as they please or to do what was in their terms. That's going to change as well. You have a recording indicator. It's going to tell you when the microphone and or the camera is on. Again, I don't know if this is breaking news, but it may be to some people. Before this feature was enacted and there's a light on the top of your iPhone that's going to come on now, these apps were listening to you sometimes even when you're not in the app. Even when you're not using the microphone in the app, it still was granted permission to listen to you and follow you, etc. And then last but certainly not least, upgrade to sign in with Apple. This is so developers can offer the option to upgrade existing apps and accounts to sign in with Apple so users can enjoy improved privacy, security, etc. So that's all fine and dandy, Max, on the outside. It seems like this is a good trend for users, right? It's protecting user data. It's giving you more options. Nobody reads terms and conditions, these 50-page long things that you click a one box to accept because you want to move forward. Nobody reads those. So we were opting into a whole bunch of things that we either didn't know about or didn't care enough about to take the time to read. Some of these things are now boiling right up into our face where we're going to be prompted. So let's start breaking this down, Max, at a very high level here, and then we can dive into some of the bullet points. How is this changing the landscape? This seems like a pretty big change to me in terms of how the users can now dictate what data they give to apps and companies.
Absolutely, Chuck. It is a major update. So just to take a step back so that our listeners can really understand what really is going on behind the scenes, a very important acronym that is being used forever, and it's an acronym that's specific to iOS, the iOS world, is IDFA. And IDFA means identifier for advertisers. This has been, I would say, the backbone of advertising platforms being able to identify users when they're interacting with the applications and the websites that they're visiting while they're using their mobile device. So the IDFA is a random identifier. It does not share personal information. However, it shares a lot, I would say pretty much everything, about what the user is doing while they're using their iOS device. Now, what has happened, Chuck, is that, simply put, this update has killed the IDFA. Right. So the IDFA all of a sudden is gone. And so the ability for platforms, advertisers, namely Facebook, one of the major players in the advertising arena. Now, the ability for those platforms to track users is severely limited. And so what is happening now is that, for example, the ability for advertisers to do remarketing campaign, to really pinpoint users based on the behaviors that they have when they're online is being limited. Yeah. And in addition to that, because of the remarketing capabilities are limited, as you can imagine, one of the best functionalities and features within, for example, Facebook that they have is the ability to model based on remarketing audiences and create lookalike audiences. Those are also going to be limited. So the ability really at the end of the day to be able to track and follow users and serve them an ad that's very relevant to them is limited. So this presents a lot of challenges. So there's good, obviously, in the fact that the privacy of the users is being protected, sure. But it's also for businesses and small businesses also like a challenge how can we be effective in advertising?
Yeah, and let's be very clear. We work in digital advertising as our careers on a daily basis, but we're also humans and users when we go home.
Exactly.
So we're not taking one side or the other here. I certainly appreciate my iPhone prompting me and telling me, hey, before you move forward, here's a more simplified version or here's some information that normally was maybe hidden or you had to dig for. I do appreciate that. But at the same time, when we're here at our agency, I think one of the biggest questions a new client or existing client or really anyone with a business comes to us for, really comes to your team for, is to acquire new leads. Most of the time, nobody is paying us a lot of money or commissioning us to convert people that are already 75% down their funnel. They can handle that. It's new leads. And new leads, you touched on two things that have worked extremely well for my clients in the past using Facebook, and that's the lookalikes and the overall umbrella of behavioral targeting.
Absolutely.
Behavioral targeting is fantastic for advertisers if you use it right. So, Max, can you talk a little bit more about that for people who may not understand what I'm saying by behavioral? You said, when I'm using an app or not using an app, it tracks things that I do elsewhere on the web, on my phone. What does that look like? And then that information goes back to us, right?
Absolutely, 100%. So again, it goes back to that IDFA that I mentioned, the identifier for advertisers. So again, it's a random ID. And when you're on, as you grab your phone and you go through your daily activity and you scroll and you move from one app to the other and you go to the website and you do a search and you look at like things that are obviously of interest of you. And now the ability for a powerful technology platform like, for example, Facebook, to get all that data and basically understand, I would say even sometimes more than what you do understand about yourself, if that makes sense. And so they really know a lot about you. And so they feed that data back into their platform. And so for advertisers now is, you know, easier, used to be easier to go into Facebook and say, I want to find a person or a, like a persona that looks like Chuck or Max, for example, based on the behavior that they have. And it was usually, like, it was easy to describe that behavior and find that audience. Once you, and this is really has been what actually made Facebook the business that it is today, like the giant in advertising, because they know more than other platforms.
Exactly.
And they're able to serve ads that are very relevant. Like it or not, at the end of the day, if you see an ad that's relevant to you on Facebook and you click and you buy, I guess it was relevant to you. I mean, it wasn't that, it wasn't bothering you that much. And I understand all the privacy and the limitations, but the ability to be very effective by targeting users and people based on their behavior online has been severely compromised. And it was really, really working very well up until recently.
I would say. One of my favorite things is when I'm hanging out with people who do not work in our industry, and they always make a comment while they're looking at their phone or maybe even on their desktop, holy moly, I was just thinking about this product, or I just said I needed that.
Right.
How does it show up right in front of my face? And I always laugh, you know. It could be for many reasons, but you know, I can tell you for sure the umbrella of privacy, the umbrella of behavioral targeting in some form or fashion has woven its way in to give you that product at the right time. And I've been guilty of it too, where I've seen in a product, you know, at the right time and I've bought it right then and there. I could be walking, I could be walking out of work right here to my car and just happen to be the right time. And that's what we're looking for as advertisers. So, in your opinion, Max, this feature now where iOS users are going to have to opt in or opt out, that's pretty big. And on the surface, it feels like, okay, logic would tell me we would probably have a lot more people opt out who used to be opted in out of default. So now our pool that we can pull from becomes smaller. Am I starting to think about this correctly?
Yep, you are 100%. It's going to become smaller. And advertisers have to deal with it. And there are some things that we are already doing and working on with clients. I don't want to get too technical here, Chuck, but like things as, you know, verifying a domain name, applying specific codes to the applications in order to, for Facebook to detect and, you know, and verify that they are legit, if you will. And I'm making this really very high level and simple, just so that listeners can understand. But and it's much more complicated than that. But in reality, there are a few things, technical steps that we are taking with advertisers just to make sure that we are still able to some degree not to be affected that much. In addition to that, there's also, you know, like advertisers have to take this as an opportunity. And one of the things that, you know, everybody agrees on is start building your first party data and work on it, segment that. This is to say, nurture the information that you have, nurture your prospects and your clients, and build that first party data, make segments out of it, because at the end of the day, these are your assets, and this is the cornerstone of what you will use to create, you know, at the end of the day, even lookalikes. You can still create lookalikes out of your own data. And yeah. If your own data is like, it's efficient and it's segmented in a way that is sufficient and you really like portray a persona, then you're going to be able to use that to create lookalikes. It just requires more work in terms of what businesses need to do to work with their data, which they used to do to some capacity, but not like fully, because it was much easier to go into Facebook and get, you know, the data from Facebook because it was there available.
Absolutely. What do you mean by first party data for people out there who may not be familiar with that term?
Right. So your own data. So like the email addresses of your prospects, the email addresses of your customers, and, you know, the
data you collected.
The data you collected. Absolutely. So your own data, like your CRM data, and, you know, the email addresses, the phone numbers, like they're, and get them to know them more and more, like their behaviors, etc. Then you're going to be able to build like your lookalikes and do segmentation. And it's really like something that both Facebook and Google, the two giants of advertising, are pushing hard and hard, say, to get ready for what's happening now and what's going to happen in 2022. The first thing that businesses should do is to have a first-party data action plan and a strategy, which I think is very, very, very important, especially now that you're not going to be able to use that, you know, knowledge that Facebook, for example, has used to have.
Yeah, and that's a great point, too, that I really was going to emphasize as we were getting to the end of this conversation. Just because we're saying something technically, and I say something, it's really these privacy rules have been taken away or restricted from us or from advertisers. We're digital advertisers. We're going to find a way, that's what we do every day, to strategically shift, get around that obstacle, and build a new path. And the first party data, that strategy is something that a lot of brands, companies, and big companies, I know because I've seen them, I've seen their plans, have ignored for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Their CRM is not connected.
Absolutely.
They are not taking full advantage of collecting enough information when a user lands on their site because their own marketing team or the agencies and vendors they work with have relied on platforms like Facebook, who has so much information, they never needed to do this. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to have to really look at that more closely, and to your suggestion, I agree, actually have a plan for that.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think that's what's going to make the difference. First-party data, first and foremost. And the second, like, nurture the relationship with the people that you get in touch with, that they know your brand. You shouldn't run any campaign that at least doesn't have, like, you know, a secondary call to action, such as collecting their email addresses. Like, you should have, you know, make collecting email addresses and information about the people who are visiting your website or your apps like a primary focus, because that's how you're going to be building targeting as the limitations in the platform will become more and more, they will have like a larger role. So I would say that's very important for advertisers and businesses to do.
Yeah, and I just mentioned big brands. tasks that are location-based mm-hmm. and do or can trigger certain things to pop up or certain advertisements to be seen when a user is in a location. I could not find too much information when it says now your location is approximate. You know, does that mean that Apple used to know right now Chuck Forbes is exactly in the More Visibility office? Now is it going to know that I'm just in Boca Raton? Or is it going to know that I'm on Camino Real Boulevard in Boca Raton? Those are very different things.
Exactly. Right? I was about to say the same thing. Very different things. So that's why this is, yeah, I agree with you. It's a little bit of a gray area in there. And we're going to try to find out more information. But yeah, being in a building versus being in a city, you know, although it can be defined as, you know, approximate locations, but that's a big difference. So it's also something, there's also something that we're really watching closely.
Yeah. So the future of this, Max, you think this is only going to continue on? You see kind of more platforms that your team uses for advertising to really follow suit with this, and really users, I think, also gaining more knowledge, I think, are going to start looking for these things now when they're downloading an app or when they're doing things on their phone that they may not have thought of before. Would you agree with that kind of forward future projection here?
Yes, 100%. I think that that's what we're going to be seeing. We'll be see that in the next few years until it changes again. But like for now, for the foreseeable future, I would say like businesses, advertisers need to be prepared to live in an environment where privacy is a top priority, which I think, like, you know, to your point earlier, I think it has merits. I think, you know, it's good to know that you as a user of a device are somewhat protected in the activity that you do. You're not fully exposed to, you know, so that advertisers can grab any information about you to some capacity. But at the same time, like, that's the environment where we're going to be living in. And I would say, let's get prepared. And there are ways to get prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy to think that that one button push for millions of people on their phones, where it's going to cost them 5 minutes of their day while their phone is restarting, they're going to open it back up and have all these new features. That one push of a button can totally flip-flop an entire industry that we work in, and millions of people have no idea. I think that is the really fascinating thing about this.
Right, 100%.
Max, any last tips that you want to leave our users with today regarding the iOS 14 update?
This conversation we had was very valuable. Like, it's good to know that, you know, as an agency, we are on top of what's happening, and we are trying to make the best out of it for our clients, for ourselves, for our clients and businesses. And so, you know, long story short, as I said, I know I said it multiple times, but let's get ready for this change. It's already happening. So let's work on first party data, build a strategy behind it, like make sure that you nurture the people that know your brand and you learn more and more about them. And at the same time, just, you know, keep watching and using the features within the platforms that still are there. And when you do these two things together, I think that in the end of the day, like, you will still see like a good return from your ad spend.
Mm-hmm. If this conversation here has sparked any ideas or maybe panic in your mind, don't worry. Max's team and our agency is here to help. You can reach out to us at info@morevisibility.com. Make sure you follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, @morevisibility, one word. Max, thanks for joining me, and we will await to see what iOS 15 brings for us.
Thank you, Chuck. Always a pleasure.